Welcome to ETH, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Here at End Time Headlines, our mission is to inform our listeners of the times and seasons in which we are in. In Luke 21:28, we are told, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, lift up your heads, your redemption is drawing near. And now, founder and pastor of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero.
For all you guys watching by YouTube, we want to welcome you as well. You'll be watching the rebroadcast of this, whereas if you're watching this by Facebook right now, then this is a live broadcast. So if you're watching by YouTube, if you're not following us on Facebook, if you have a Facebook account, please go over to Facebook and look for us on End Time Headlines and follow us so that you can be notified of when we come on live so you can jump onto the live broadcast. For you guys that are watching via Facebook Live, I want to welcome you to the broadcast and you guys as well on YouTube. If this is your first time joining us, I want to welcome you personally. Again, I'm the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines and Remnant Revival Ministries, Ricky Scapero. And I just want to say it's good to see Jessica on here. Jessica is our admin. Please continue to keep her in your prayers. It is such a blessing just to see her name and her profile pop up, and that's always good because she's been going through a trial physically. So continue to pray for her that God will completely restore her in Jesus' name. And I believe he is, because we need her here at End Time Headlines, and she's got a great work for the Lord. So let me get into this thing, guys. Exodus 5. I want to minister today on, and again, this is a word for somebody. When the enemy begins to see your persistence, you can take it to the bank that this is always going to happen. And we see this paralleled picture of this in Exodus 5. So let me go to Exodus 5. Let me talk about this a little bit, and then we're going to bring it home to you. So give me about 30 minutes, guys, tops. And I really believe this is going to minister to a lot of people. They get discouraged when they start praying, they start contending, and they start believing, watch this, for deliverance, for breakthrough, and for freedom for loved ones, okay? Watch this. This is Exodus 5. Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh. Now, it says in your Bible, it says afterward. After what? When you go to Exodus chapter 3, Exodus chapter 4, we see that the Lord calls Moses in the wilderness. He has a dramatic encounter with the Lord by the burning bush. God commissions him. He calls him. He ordains him. He puts a word in his mouth. He says, go into the house of Pharaoh. Go into the house of bondage. Go into the house of Egypt. I'm going to send you into the enemy's camp. Come on. You got to get all this in your spirit when I'm going where I'm going with this tonight. I'm going to send you right into the heart of the enemy's camp, and you're going to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. And by my hand, through you, I'm going to be bringing the people out of bondage, bringing them out of addiction, bringing them out of hardship. Come on, bringing them out of darkness into my marvelous light. So here, that's the backdrop of this. Moses feels inadequate to do this, so he pleads with the Lord to have Aaron come along with him. The Lord basically compromises what his original plan was. It was not his original intent, and I preached that before, but nevertheless, because of Moses feeling inadequate to do what God's called him to do, he said, fine, you take Aaron with you, and you go do what I've called you to do. So then we come to Exodus 5, and it says, and afterward, Moses and Aaron went in. They went in where? They went into the enemy's camp. They went into the house of bondage. They went into the house of darkness. They went into where sin was rampant. They went in where there was, come on, where the yoke of bondage was, where the children of Israel were held captive, where they were held under, come on, the tyranny of the enemy. So Moses and Aaron went in and they told Pharaoh. In other words, they opened their mouth and they began to make a decree to Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh is a picture of Satan. And Egypt is a picture, come on, of the gates of hell. It's a picture of hell in itself. Because let's be honest, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So what I'm trying to tell you is, you and I watching this tonight, or by the rebroadcast of this, whenever you watch this, you've got loved ones, you've got family, you've got friends, you've got relatives, you've got co-workers, whatever the case would be, they are in the house of Egypt. They're in bondage. They're in bondage to, come on, to everything from alcoholism to drug addiction to pornography. They're lost, come on, as a goose in a hailstorm. They're heathens. They're unregenerate. Some of them are atheists. Some of them are agnostics. Some of them are, some of them may even be backslid, and they've come out of Egypt, but they quickly went back to Egypt. But nevertheless, you are grieved. Your heart yearns for them as Moses' heart burned for the people of Israel. He burned for his own people. He wants to see them free. He yearns to see them set free and see the captives set free. And he tried to do it in his own power, and it didn't work. So now he comes in the name of the Lord. Oh, let he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying tonight. So here's what you do. Watch this. You get a word from God. You get into the Word. The Spirit of God begins to speak to you. The Holy Spirit of God begins to give you a rhema word, a right now word. And he empowers you by the anointing of the Spirit. And listen, you may not physically be able to go into their house of Egypt. Maybe you can't get to their home. Maybe you can't get to their place of location. You don't want to go down to that bar. You don't want to go down to that club. You don't want to go into that drug house. You don't want to go into that rehab center. So all of a sudden you begin to get on your knees, you get in your prayer closet, you begin to open your mouth and speak to Pharaoh. Come on. Oh, you begin to open your mouth. I'm talking about prayer and intercession. And you begin to speak to Pharaoh. You begin to speak to the enemy. And you begin to say, let my people go. Come on, it's one thing to pray a thing. It's another thing to begin to decree a thing. Oh, let me say that again. It's one thing. There's some things you pray about, but there's other things you got. There's things you talk to God about, but then there's other things you open your mouth and you begin to decree, thus saith the Lord. You begin to talk to the enemy. You begin to talk to hell. You begin to talk to demons and devils and principalities. And you begin to rise up and begin to say things like, devil, you can't have my son. You can't have my daughter. Devil, you're not going to take my marriage in Jesus' name. You're not going to take my health. I'm going to live and not die and declare the works of the Lord, of the Lord our God. You will not take my business. You will not take my home. You're not going to take my ministry. I'm not going to be like everybody else in my family and be sick with this infirmity or sick with this disease or be bound by alcohol or bound by drugs. Come on, you begin to open your mouth and decree a thing. Come on, that's what God spoke. That's what the Lord spoke to Job. He said, you shall decree a thing and it shall come to pass. But watch this. Oh, you got to get this. I want to show you something. So Moses comes in with Aaron. Come on, if any two shall touch and agree on any one thing, it shall be done. So they're coming in agreement. They're going into hell's camp. They're going into the enemy's camp. They begin to open their mouth. They begin to decree, thus saith the Lord. And they had an expectation that when they opened their mouth, come on, that Pharaoh was just going to throw the children of Israel right out the door and say, here you go, take them. And matter of fact, take all of our spoils, take everything we got and just get out of here. But no, listen what it says in verse 2, and Pharaoh responded and said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. Now let's read on. So they responded, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go 3 days' journey. Notice how their prayer began, or not their prayer, but notice how their attitude began to change. They came with, thus says the Lord, let my people go. But when the enemy, come on, but when the enemy showed resilience, when the enemy confronted them, when confrontation came, when opposition came, when adversity came, for thus saith the Lord. Come on, it's not like they didn't have a word. They had instructions from Almighty God. They came with the word and they decreed the word, but adversity came for the word. Golly, somebody's got to get this. Adversity came for the word. Opposition came for the word. So notice their tone changed from thus saith the Lord to please, please let us go 3 days journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. In other words, come on, they begin to change. How many of you, oh, who am I talking to tonight? How many of you have changed your attitude and the way you pray? Come on, you get a word from God, a rhema word, you get a right now word, you get a prophet speaks over you, gives you a word, and then, come on, the next day, you begin to get in your prayer closet and with authority and begin to command, you begin to loose, you begin to bind, you begin to decree, you begin to declare, thus saith the Lord, but then you don't see an immediate breakthrough, you don't see an immediate response, you don't see immediate results and manifestation, and instead, all of a sudden, you see it. Adversity, you see opposition, you see something rising up against the very thing that you're believing for, and then instead of making your face like flint and saying thus saith the Lord, you begin to back down, you begin to change how you pray, you begin to doubt things, you begin to let unbelief creep in. Whew. So let me go on here. He says, verse 4, then the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your labor. In other words, get back to what you've always known. Mind your own business. Get in your league. Watch this. And Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are many now, and you make them rest from their labor. In other words, don't get these people stirred up. Don't get them excited, making them think that they're going to get delivered, making them think that they're going to get their breakthrough. So the same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no longer give the people straw to make brick as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. You shall lay on them the quota of bricks which they made before. You shall not reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore, they cry out, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Listen to this. Let more work be laid on the men, that they may labor in it, and let them not regard false words. So, come on. The enemy is making a mockery of Moses and Aaron. He's making a mockery of their God. I'm telling you guys, I know you don't want to hear this, but I'm going to tell you, when you begin to get serious, when you begin to draw a line in the sand, when you begin to make your face like flint, and you begin to enter into a battle for something. I don't know what you're in a battle for tonight. You know what you're in a battle for. When you begin to get into a heated battle and a heated confrontation, when you begin to pray, when you begin to intercede, when you begin to travail, when you begin to stand in the gap, when you begin to intercede for that loved one, when you begin to intercede for your lost loved ones, for that coworker, for that husband, for that wife, for that breakthrough, for that deliverance to come upon them, when you begin to do that, many of you don't expect adversity. You don't expect opposition. You don't expect the enemy to rise up. And then some of y'all get frustrated. And listen, I'm going to prove it to you, because this is what you hear all the time from people. I hear this all the time. Well, Brother Ricky, when I begin to intercede, when I begin to get down to business, when I begin to draw a line in the sand and make my face like flint, when I begin to cry out more, when I begin to pray more, when I begin to fast more, when I begin to give more, when I begin to believe more, it seems like all hell broke loose. It seems like that's when they begin to rebel even more. That's when they begin to get on drugs even deeper. That's when they begin to drink more. That's when they begin to get back into the club, back into the bar. They begin to sleep around and become become even more promiscuous. That's when they cut off all conversation with me. Oh, before they would at least talk to me on the weekends, but now they said, lose my number, get lost, don't talk to me ever again. That's when my husband stopped wanting to go to church with me. That's when he stopped wanting to have anything to do with God. Now he won't listen to what I have to say. Now all he wants to do is cuss me out. Now all he wants to do is mock my God, mock my Christianity, and spit in my face and tell me to take my Jesus and my God and my Bible and do something else with it. Well, friends, that's exactly what the enemy wants. That's exactly the pattern I'm trying to show you tonight. That just tells me that it's working. That just tells me that, come on, that breakthrough is even more on the horizon. Because right before the breakthrough, the enemy's going to turn up the heat. He's going to put even more hard labor on that which you're believing for. Come on, you begin to believe God for your marriage to get a breakthrough. That's when it all hell begins to break loose on another level. Come on, it was at a DEFCON 1, and you saw some turbulence in your marriage, but then the moment you begin to intercede, you begin to pray, you begin to fast, and believe that your marriage was going to get a breakthrough, all of a sudden, and within 3 days' time, it goes from DEFCON 1 to DEFCON 4. Now, I may have that backwards, but you know what I mean. I'm talking about full-blown World War 3 is about to break loose in your home. You begin to believe God for your sons and your daughters. Come on, to come home to the Lord, to get a breakthrough, and to get out of the junk that they're in. Then within 3 days, 7 days, 21 days, all of a sudden you get a phone call, you get a notice, you get an email, you get a letter, you get a knock at the door. Your son, your daughter has been involved in this. They've been involved in that. They got in this. They stole a car. They were into some type of drug deal. They were busted with drugs. They were in this. And it's like everything that can happen, that, and you say dumb things like this. Well, it can't get any worse than this. Oh, you better watch out, because Pharaoh will make sure that it gets worse. He'll make sure that he puts it even tougher. He'll make the labor even more intense. Why? Because he's threatened. Listen to this. Let me go on here. And the taskmasters of the people and their officers went out and spoke to the people, saying, thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go get it yourselves, straw where you can find it. None of your work will be reduced. None of your work will be reduced. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters forced them to hurry, saying, fulfill your work. Your daily quota is when there was straw. Also, the officers of the children of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, why have you not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday, today, as before? And then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried out to Pharaoh, saying, why are you dealing like this with your servants? There is no straw given to your servants. And they say to us, make brick? Are you kidding me? And then indeed your servants are beaten, but the fault is in your own people. But he said, you are idle. You're idle. Now watch this. Let me go on. Verse 20. Then as they came out from Pharaoh, they met Moses and Aaron, whom stood there to meet them. And they said to them, listen what they said to Moses and Pharaoh. Let the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us. In other words, they begin to blame, instead of blaming the very one who's got them in bondage and holding them in bondage and holding them in captivity and putting them under hard labor, instead of blaming him, they begin to blame the very ones who are there to intercede and to set them free with a word from the Lord. Come on, isn't this how many of our family is? When we begin to try to help them, and we've begun to try to reveal to them that they're in bondage and they're in addictions and they're in doing things and they're and the things that can kill them, things that can lead them into bondage, things that can be detrimental to their salvation, that they could actually lose their salvation and spend eternity in hell. And we try to help them out, we try to intercede, we try to invite them to church, we try to give them a Bible, we try to pray for them, we try to intercede for them, we try to do all these things for them. And then it's almost like things don't get, and here's what they say. Well, I'm going to, I'm going to try this Jesus for just a little bit. I'm going to try him out. But see, even Pharaoh told, you can read this in your Bible in your own time. Moses, Pharaoh told Moses, I'm going to permit you to go so far, just a little bit. You can go just a little bit far, but not fully out of my sight. So here's what happens. You get people that make a half-hearted commitment. They try Jesus on like it's a garment at a retail shop. Well, I'm going to try Jesus on and see if he's tailored to my lifestyle. I want to try him out a little bit, but if he's a little bit too tight, or if he doesn't fit on my schedule, he doesn't fit my routine, he doesn't fit my lifestyle, he makes me feel uncomfortable in the culture that we're in, then I may just have to return him and get my money back. So this is what happens. We get people that say, you know what? They get tired of us on their back, and they say, well, I'm going to try out your Jesus. So they come to church and they start praying, and you give them a Bible and they start reading the Bible a little bit. Well, guess what? When that happens, Pharaoh is threatened and he begins to turn up the heat. And as a result of Pharaoh turning up the heat a little bit, what happens? All hell begins to break loose with them. Oh, come on. This may not be preaching to anybody else, but I'm going to tell you, I've got some of these folks in my own family that are like this. So guess what? Then everything begins to happen. Well, then they get mad at you. Well, I tried out your Jesus, and beforehand, everything was good. I didn't have the problems I had, but once I tried out your Jesus, and I lost my job, or my car broke down, I had a flat tire, my whole family's sick, my wife just left me, this and this and this and this happened. So you know what? You can keep your Jesus. And what they don't understand, and they don't get the revelation of, is what I'm trying to reveal to you tonight, is no wonder, because the enemy is threatened that they may truly, actually, completely get out of Egypt and pursue their promised land. But he understands that there's many out there that are okay with leaving Egypt as long as Egypt is not out of their sight. As long as I can see, I'll get out here just a little bit far enough just so that I can look and see the leeks, and I can see the onions, and I can see the garlic, and I can see the pots of meat, and I can still see what I'm familiar with. And as long as I can see familiarity. Have you ever wondered why women are in abusive relationships and you move heaven and earth to try to get them out? Not all, but many, you move heaven and earth to try to get them out of abusive relationships, only for them to go right back into either the one they just came out of, which blows my mind. I remember watching a Dr. Phil show a while back, and there was a woman on there that was, she was married to a man that physically beat her every single day. I'm talking about black and blue, broken nose, broken jaw, blood coming out of every orifice of her face. I'm talking about derogatory terms, just treated her like a dog. And when her mother stepped in and tried to intervene and tried to bring her out of this environment, guess what the wife did? She called the police, not on him, on her mother, and blamed her mother. Come on, I don't even understand that. I don't get that. But you see this over and over and over again. So I want to show you something. Watch this. So Moses returned to the Lord. So all this is happening. This is twofold, guys. Watch this. So now it comes back on Moses and Aaron. So think about this. So here's Moses. He's excited. He's got a word from God. He's going to begin to pray. Come on, he's going to pray his family out of the enemy's camp. He's going to pray his marriage out of the enemy's camp. He's going to pray his business out, pray his church out, pray his children out. He's going to pray his bloodline out of Egypt, and he's got a word from heaven. Hallelujah. So when he begins to step into what God's called him to do, begin to release that word, decree that word, opposition and adversity meets him face to face. And then the very people that he's believing God for to be brought out of bondage actually turn on him and say, it's all your fault. If you would have not stirred up the nest, if you wouldn't have stirred the pot, Moses, then this would have never happened. So Moses gets discouraged and he goes back to the Lord and says, Lord, why have you brought trouble on these people? What? Why have you dropped? Can you believe that Moses would even say such a thing? When God appeared to Moses and said, I have heard the cries of my people for 400 years in captivity. They have cried out night and day for deliverance, and I have raised you up to be a deliverer. And because things didn't turn out the way Moses expected them to, he comes back and says, Lord, why have you brought this trouble on these people? Are you kidding me, Moses? How is this trouble any different than the 400 years of bondage they've been in? Listen to this. Why is it you have sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people. Neither have you delivered your people at all. Now that's pretty bold of Moses to say this to God. But listen to this. Watch this. If you go to chapter 6, God didn't get mad at Moses. Here's how he responds. He says, then the Lord says to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. Golly. Woo-hoo-hoo. Now I'm going to leave that word right there and we're going to pray. So here, let me say this and then we're going to pray. So I don't know who this word is, but I feel like somebody needs this word tonight. You're discouraged. You're dismayed. You want to throw in the towel because you have a word. You have a thus saith the Lord on something, on whatever it is that you've been praying for. And it, and specifically for loved ones, for family members, for lost co-workers or special people in your heart that you're very close to. And you've been year after year, I don't know how many years it's been, you've been, come on, they were in captivity for 400 years, guys. 400 years they cried out night and day to be delivered. And now you begin to come down. You I don't know who this is for, but you've gotten into, you've made it your face like flint. You begin to pray. You begin to intercede. You're becoming, you're serious with God. You're like, I'm going to set my heels down and I'm going to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to begin to fast. I'm going to begin to march the floor if I've got to. I got a Jericho march around my house, whatever I got to do. I'm going to begin to pray them into the kingdom, pray down the strongholds. And as you begin to do this, all of a sudden things are not turning out and things are not manifesting. And things are not unfolding the way you expected them to. Instead, the heat gets turned up. Adversity gets more. There's more intense battle. There's more intense opposition. And as a result of this, you just want to throw in the towel and say, you know what? Some of y'all's even got this attitude. If they perish, they perish. That's their bed. They made it. They're going to lie in it because you're so frustrated. Because it's like the more you do, the worse they get. But come on, I come by tonight to encourage you with this word. Moses understands what it's like. He understood what it was like to be discouraged. He understood what it was like to want to throw in the towel and say, why have you even chose me to pray for these people? Some of y'all, you're the only Moses in your family. They're all in bondage to under Pharaoh, and you're the only Moses, and you don't even have an Aaron. And you're the only Moses, and you keep going in your prayer closet, in your secret place, and you're demanding Pharaoh, let my people go. Come on, somebody. You're speaking to the enemy's camp, and thus you're calling those things that be not as though they were, and it's almost like, and it's getting worse, and things are getting more intense, and things are, seems like it's just not going the way you expected them. Moses understood what it was like to be in your shoes and be discouraged, and you've come back to God and say, God, I don't, and you're throwing up your hands and say, I don't know what it's going to take, but I can't do it. You're going to have to reach it with somebody else. But friends, here's the word for you. The Lord spoke to Moses and he said, now it's time for you to sit still, Moses. Golly, woo, I feel the Holy Ghost on that. Come on, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still, Moses, and see what I can do. Come on, Paul told us in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, put on the whole armor of God. When he says, when we're going to wrestle against flesh and blood, he said, put on the shield of faith, put on the helmet of salvation, put on the breastplate of righteousness, put on the sword of the Spirit, put on the boots of the gospel of peace, put on all the whole armor, and pray in the Spirit, and stand in supplication. And then he says, and having done all, he says, having done all, stand therefore. That's the word for you tonight. Having done all, stand. It's time for God to make the move. Come on, the battle is not yours. I come by to tell you today. I come by to tell you tonight, live on Facebook, watching by YouTube. The battle is not yours, but it belongs unto the Lord. It's time you set still. Come on, that doesn't mean you stop doing what you're doing. You keep doing what you're doing, but quit trying to carry the load, Moses. It was never about you. You were just an instrument that God's going to use, but it's not up to you to save the people. It's up to God to save them. Shh. Come on, you just plant the seed and you water the seed, but God is the one who gives the increase. So come on, just if you know you've done all, I just want to give you this word tonight to ease some pressure off of you. Come on, to encourage you in the Lord tonight and tell you that the Lord sees the battle. And it's come on, the battle is not yours, but it belongs into the to Him. It belongs into the Lord. You just keep praying. You keep fasting. You keep interceding, you keep travailing, you keep planting that seed, you keep watering that seed, you keep believing, you keep, come on, you keep praying and you keep decreeing. You talk to God about it and you talk to hell about it, and you begin to declare. Begin to declare, because listen, the enemy is going to tell you all day, I'm not going to let them go. They're always going to remain in bondage. They're always going to stay in Egypt. They're always going to stay in their drug addiction. They're always going to stay in their alcoholism. They're always going to stay in darkness. They're always going to stay bound. They're always going to stay lost. The enemy's always rattling. He's always talking. He's always got chatter going. You just need to just shut up his mouth and just tell him, I've got a thus saith the Lord. And at the end of the day, it may not be tonight, it may not be tomorrow, but come on, I'm going to hold fast to the profession of my faith without wavering, for God is faithful, who shall bring it to pass. Come on, have you received that tonight? Give the Lord a hallelujah. Give Him a praise, God, a thank you, Jesus. Come on, just give Him some glory tonight. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I received this word tonight from my own family, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Come on, this is... Woo, let's just pray right now. I feel while the anointing is here, let's just pray. Come on, just if you've got to lay hands on your heart or lift up your hands or however you feel led tonight, I want you to begin to just begin to believe God. The Lord's going to begin to reveal some things to you. The Holy Spirit's going to begin to reveal these people, those individuals that are in the house of Pharaoh. I don't know who they are, but you know who they are. They're in your family. They're at your job. They're in your neighborhood, whatever they are. Begin to see those as the Holy Spirit begins to reveal. Come on, just call them out by name. Call them out by name. Father, I thank you that they're coming home. I thank you that they're coming out. Come on, I thank you that they're coming out of bondage. They're coming out of Egypt. They're coming out of the addictions. They're coming out of these strongholds. Come on, just begin to declare, thus saith the Lord, let the people go. Satan, I command you to let the people go. I command you to let those people go out of drug addiction. Let those people go out of pornography addiction. Let those people go out of false doctrines and false deception and strongholds and cults. And let those people out of darkness. And Lord, bring them into your marvelous light, God. Lord, bring the impossible possible. Make the impossible possible, God. Lord, part that Red Sea, God. Make the impossible happen. Lord, you told Moses, you said, now stand still and watch my wonders. Watch what I'll do. God, you are God, Lord. You can do the impossible. Lord, you can stir up their nest. You can stir them up in their job. You can stir them up in their marriage. You can stir them up right there in that drug house. You can stir them up right there on their couch, right there in their car, right there in the dream, right there wherever they're at. You can stir them when they're asleep. You can stir them when they're awake. You can stir them up by hitting them in their finances. You can give them a wake-up call. You're the Lord God. Lord, you used a donkey to wake up Balaam and get his attention. You used a rooster to get the attention of Peter. You used a whale to get the attention of Jonah. Lord, however you got to get their attention, Lord, we say get their attention, shake them up, and let them know they're coming out of Egypt. They're coming out of Egypt, and not one feeble one will be among them, and they're coming out with silver and gold. Lord, they're going to come out not broke, busted, and disgusted, but they're coming out, Lord, and the years that the canker worm, the caterpillar, the locust, and the mill, and all that has devoured, Lord, you're going to restore unto them. Why? Because you're the God who restores, you're the God who redeems, and you are the Lord God, and we believe you, Lord Jesus, for your word says it, and we believe it, and we decree it tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, and amen. Come on, guys, give the Lord some praise and a hand clap tonight. Lord, thank you, Jesus, for this mighty word tonight that you gave me by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving me this word. And I pray that somebody is encouraged tonight with this word on Facebook or by YouTube here on the rebroadcast of this. All right, guys. So we love you guys. We appreciate you taking out the time. We were on here for at least a little bit over 30 minutes. And again, we appreciate you taking the time out on this this Monday evening to get on here. And I pray that this was a great blessing to you. Listen, if you know someone that needs to hear this word on Facebook, please tag them or share this with them. Invite them into the broadcast. If you're watching this by YouTube, by the time you see this, it'll be up and uploaded. Share the URL with them. Invite them into to get this word. Invite them to our website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Guys, if you would like more information on this, and I forgot to put that description up there on Facebook Live. So as soon as this is over, I'll put that up there, and there'll be a link connected to that. You just click on that link, and that's how you're going to follow us. That's how you're going to subscribe to us, and that's where also where you can sow into this ministry, partner with us, or whatever the Lord puts on your heart. If this ministry blesses you and encourages you on a weekly basis, we want to encourage you to partner with us, sow into this ministry, and be a blessing as the Lord blesses you in return. So again, God bless you guys. We're going to sign off for tonight. But we will be back on here, Lord willing, on Wednesday. I'm traveling out of town on Thursday morning. I'll be gone Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So what I'm probably going to do, and I forgot totally about this. So let's do this. We'll come on tomorrow. So we're going to come on tonight, tomorrow, Tuesday, and we'll come on Wednesday. So we'll come on 3 days in a row, and then we're going to take off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all the way up, and we'll be back on Monday, because I completely forgot about that. So again, pray for us for safe travels as we fly out to Georgia. Continue to pray for Jessica, for her health to be completely restored. And continue to pray for Brother Ricky and for our ministry as well. So we love you guys. God bless you. We'll be back on here tomorrow. God bless.